Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production.
Hello, fellow pro wrestling fans. My name is John Fredrickson. This is the State of Pro Wrestling. We are live on the road once again this week. Busy week it's been. Last weekend, we made the journey, the trek, six-hour drive over to Oshkosh, Wisconsin for ACW's Water City Wrestling Con. And what an amazing time it was. So grateful that we got a merch booth there. So many people came by, said hello, entered the raffle. We had a make-your-own sign center where fans could come and make their own signs. It was very cool. Cool to see the kids. The excitement in the kids' eyes. Got to get familiar with some of the local wrestlers, too. You know, get the people. I think everybody did a different sign for a different wrestler, so it was really cool. Cool to see the creativeness and people just having fun, putting smiles on faces. I know we gave away a bunch of wrestling cards for free. And it was a great time. I had the huge raffle. So if anybody has the winning ticket, we need to find the winning ticket, and hopefully we can find. They never came back to the table. It was a weird night, but yeah, great time. Got to see many fans. Yeah, let's jump straight to it. The main topic tonight. Very, very excited to have this guest on. I know was hoping to get him on our show last year when we were doing the Facebook live streams. But very excited to have the Time Traveler, DeLorean Diggs, now a dual champion in Midwest All-Pro Wrestling over there in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So very excited to talk to him. I know I got a chance personally to see him at a show here in Mankato, Minnesota a couple years back. Great talent. And I got to see him last summer in Des Moines as well, the Black Wrestlers Matter show. He was the winner of the Battle Royal. I was kind of disappointed he didn't get into the championship, into the title match this year for the second show, but we'll see. We'll talk to him about that, see what kind of payoff he got for the win in the Battle Royal last year. But, yeah, one of the great feel-good stories in all of pro wrestling right now. Very excited. Let's just jump into it right now. Let's bring him on. Bring him on live right now. See if I can function. Been working hard all day. My fingers are too calloused to hit the microphone button. But we are here today with the Time Traveler, DeLorean Digg, dual champion out there in Midwest All Pro Wrestling. How are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Amazing. Very excited. Glad that we finally had this time to talk. Excited that we get to do it on air so the fans can hear as well.
Yeah,
let's see.
Yeah, same here, man. I mean, just the year overall has just been something else, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been wild. Been great to be able to follow your story. I think been following you on social media for a couple of years. But, yeah, really these last couple of years have been an amazing tale. Guests. You can call in at 646-668-8672. Talk with our guests, ask any questions, or if you just want to talk wrestling, we'll be here for the next hour or so. So let's jump into that amazing story. Where do you want to begin with this?
I guess the best way to begin it is just we can go all the way, honestly, way back to the beginning where, I guess you could say, the dream somewhat started, per se. Long story short, you know, I know most people that don't know my story basically want to know, you know, what inspired me to be a professional wrestler and actually do what I love doing. So the story of what started, you know, my dream, I was around about 2 or 3 years old. Around that time, because my grandpa and my granddad and my father at times too were huge wrestling fans. Growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So around that time, per se, they were the main thing that was showing most of the time was AWA. My grandpa was pretty good at basically recording every show that happened, every chance he get, because you know when you're a wrestling fan, especially back in the day with VHS, you know, you didn't want to wait till they released the movies in stores. So so basically, my dad, my grandpa, actually, I'm sorry, recorded an AWA show, and basically it was a show where it featured, the late, great Kurt Hennig and going against Nick Bockwinkel for the AWA title. And
no way.
So, like, he ended up, I don't know, I can't even, if he was still alive, I would, that's, like, the one dire question. I was like, how did you actually get, like, a tape of that? So, basically, long story short, like, I, you know, being a young kid, you know, anything catches your eye. And I actually really, really liked Kurt Hennig. So, it's mostly, like, a lot of people don't know about that. Like, I'm a huge, like, Kurt Hennig fan. After watching, like, he just oozed through,
awesome.
Like, thank you for charisma, just, like, wow, wazoo. So, like, after watching that match, I remember, like, running up to the TV and telling my both my granddad and my dad that basically, like, hey, I want to do this. So, you know, with, you know, me being a 2-year-old at the time, basically, they basically was just like, oh, yeah, sure, you know, kids, they love saying anything. Like, they, you know, want to go to the moon, they want to be an astronaut, you know, they want to, you know, make world peace and all that. So fast forward down the line, I can say about around the class, that, like, dream never died, per se, as I started growing up. Basically, I had made a lot of friends, childhood friends through wrestling, and what got me started was I was one of the people that started in the backyard, basically. And my mom hated it, and I'm pretty sure we'll talk about a lot more of her later. Like, she, like, I, like, because at that time, like, I did, like, a few years of wrestling in high school. She liked it, but she didn't like one of the times where I got hurt and, like, I got into a shouting match with my coach at the time, well, assistant coach at the time. So one of my friends from the church I grew up in basically was just like, hey, so, like, there's this guy that I know. He runs wrestling shows in his backyard. It's actually pretty good. I gave him your Facebook information, so he's gonna add you probably like within the next couple of days, and you just take it from there. And this is like real early, like 2000, like 8 Facebook days, where, you know, there wasn't no like DMs or Messenger and all that. You just write on the wall and all that.
Sure.
So
and that was over in Milwaukee.
Yeah, correct.
All right.
You're fine. Fast forwarded, the ring that they had for the time being, believe it or not, was an 8x8 ring. So that ring was pretty small.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And I just remember, like, looking at it, I was like, okay, like, I imagine it being bigger, like, when I went to a few events and all that, so, like, maybe it just looked different. So he gave me the spiel. After that, like, I checked out the little ring that they had. My guy, two of my friends that I'm real close with, Eric Helverson and Reese Ward, they kind of helped started the dream, and, like, since then, I didn't look back at it.
Awesome, man. Very exciting. I mean, still, 8x8, to have never stepped into a ring, to be able to step in, that was kind of your first training?
Yeah, it was basically, like, they helped, like, basically teach me, like, okay, you know, like, this is, like, not the, basically this how to bump, like, this is what you want to do. And, like, they helped prepare me for the do's and don'ts. it gave me like an understanding again, like a starting point before I got trained by Nick Eugene Dinsmore. But basically, like once I started wrestling there, like I wasn't that much of a popular kid in high school, but once people started knowing I wrestled, like everybody was like really into it. Like I still remember like the show where. funny story. So I ended up wrestling one of the guys that trained me, Eric Calverson. Basically, it was like it was a one-on-one match. Anything, no DQ. Basically, anything goes. And that's the day where my mom threatened him because basically we did a spot to where I dove off the top rope, he moved out the way, and I was going to go back on the top rope again, and he pushed me out. And back then, we wrestled in his backyard, so, like, he pushed me out. I jumped about, like, 10 feet in the air, landed on the grass and all that, and my mom was, yeah, she wasn't having it, but I knew I had her in my pink then, so that's when she truly became a fan of mine, so.
Nice.
But they basically got me training there and just got me started because that's when I was introduced, sadly enough, to when it comes to, like, wrestling politics, basically. And I was fairly introduced to that.
Yuck.
Yeah.
And when you went from
something.
That training, how did you end up choosing to go over to Sioux Falls and train with Nick Eugene Dinsmore?
So around the time, basically to fast forward everything, the people I was running with, they and some shady stuff happened with some like some sketchy people. So the company I wrestled for, we were called LBOW was the organization. Basically, it stood for Little Bastards of Wrestling. We cleaned it up and called it Lost Veterans of Wrestling, which kind of sounds like a band name if you think about it. So basically, around the time that ended, I for about like 6 months to a year, I got in contact with a guy that ran another promotion in Milwaukee. It's called World Extreme Wrestling Federation. Basically, that's when I was really introduced to how, like, when it comes to a lot of promoters, not a lot of promoters are what they promote themselves on paper. Like, he...
A lot of cats.
Yeah, yeah, like, when I say, like, there's like, bad people, and then there's just, like, people that shouldn't run. I'm talking about people shouldn't even, like, operate just riding a bike. He is definitely one of them. So, basically, he started to do some, like, it was just some questionable stuff that I just didn't like that he did. So I was just, like, around the time, that's when I was going to college at South Dakota State. So around that time, like, I was there for a few years. I took a year off because grades wasn't looking good. So I ended up wrestling with that guy again just because he was a steady connection. Plus, like, I still wanted to, you know, be a wrestler. Fast forward everything, things didn't plan out. Like, I'm talking about this guy, like, when he was blowing smoke, it was, like, the worst smoke to blow. Like, he was promising me, like, he'd get me exclusive deals, he could get me up to Puerto Rico, St. Louis. Like, he promised me a trip to Germany, because he knew I always wanted to wrestle in Germany at a point in my life. So he was like, oh, yeah, like, I know, like, such and such from Germany, and he named some promotion that never existed. So after that, I was just like, I'm just going to focus on school, get my education right, and hopefully, like, I won't lose out on my opportunity. So fast forward it to about 2016. One of my college friends. His name is Eric. Eric August. He talked to me. He's like, hey, D, I know you like wrestling. Do you want to go to a wrestling show? So me being me, because I'm that much of a wrestling fan, I know whichever city I'm at, I know when, like, you know, WWE is stopping through. I know, like, all the touring dates, because I figure out the algorithm, basically. So I was like, they're not going to be in town for, like, another, like, 2-3 months. And he was like, no, there's actually a company down here called Midwest All Pro Wrestling. And I'm just like, wait a minute, I've been in this state for, like, I don't know, like, several years now. How did I just not know, like, there's a wrestling company? So he was just like, it started up early within the year. And he's like, well, basically, you know, it's pretty nice. He's like, you should check it out. He's like, because Eugene runs it. And I was like, wait, you talking about, like, Eugene? Because, like, it's a pretty big deal. So I was just like, all right, yeah, sure. Like, well, let's
definitely
go. So, drove about 30, 45 minutes there. We ended up sitting right next to a good friend of mine, a good brother named Charlie Eccles. And basically, like, we watched the show.
Nice.
And around that time, like, we went to the first show, so we was like, all right, we got to go to another one. And then the show that they did next, the second show I went to was basically they were having a Rumble-style match to crown the first ever Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Champion. And it was around then, during intermission of the show, we were just sitting there just kicking it.
You're good.
talking to Sean Daivari and Aria Daivari, because Charlie knew them, so that was kind of cool.
Wow.
And, because they ended up even bringing me a shirt and like, hey, man, you got to put this shirt on. It was the Aria Daivari shirt. So I was just like,
nice.
Okay, cool. Like, all right, like I'll be game for it.
What year was that? Do you remember?
2016. So, so like around like during intermission, basically they basically was just like Nick was promoting a training camp. Just like, hey, we just got done finishing up with the training camp, so we're gonna do like another 2 week camp. And then they both looked at me, and I was like, why are y'all giving me that look? They're like, whoa, you know, like, because one knew that I used to wrestle, and the other one, like,
right,
told the stories. So they was like, you're doing this, right? So I'm just like, I mean, like, I got to finish the school first, but then, like, yeah, I'll probably join. And then he was like, don't worry about it. He's like, if you, because at the time I didn't have, like, a moving vehicle. So he's like, if you need a car, I got hookups. Like, I got you. You're doing this. Like, you're not, like, no excuses. So I was like, all right, sure, I'll do it. So then around February 5th, I want to say. February 5th, I did the two-week program. And, man, like, that passion I had, like, when I first started in high school came back. So I was like, all right, like, first things first, like, once, like, as soon as I get done graduating, I'll move down to Sioux Falls, I'll sign up, and then rest is history.
Awesome, man. Amazing. Well, what a story. What was it like meeting the Daivaris at that point? Or do you remember any of that conversation or how that went?
Not so much. Like, I mean, Sean Daivari was like a real cool, laid back dude. When they were sitting there talking to him, I was just sitting in the background, just chilling, just hanging out, like, had me like a drink or two. So I was just sitting there, just hanging out. So there's like, hey, D-Lo, like, come meet, like, Sean and Ari. I was like, oh, are you sure? And they was like, yeah, dude, like, they're cool. They don't bite unless you want them to, but that's weird. So, like, just basically just, like, telling them, like, hey, like, I like you guys' work, you know, like, you guys are, like, pretty cool. Like, is there, like, any, like, how you feel about, like, South Dakota and all that? Because, you know, not gonna lie, like, being in South Dakota, there's not like a whole lot of wrestling going on here compared to like Iowa or like Wisconsin or Minneapolis or anything. Like, it's very little anything. And like they said, they actually really enjoyed it and like it. So I'm just like, oh man, that's cool. And just like picked his brain when it came to just like, you know, how it was, like, you know, work, like touring around. Because I think around that time too, Daivari, I don't know if they had the academy up and running, but I think it was, like, in the groundwork.
Okay.
But I know Sean, because I know he told me, he's like, yeah, he like, seeing what Nick is doing down here makes me want to kind of, like, he said, like, I thought about doing the school, but, like, he was, I'm guessing, keeping kayfabe at the time, because ironically enough, I think, like, a couple weeks later, I end up seeing that him and Anderson, that's when they started the groundwork for the academy. So that was kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, historic. definitely interesting to see what they've done. Or you think about our I've seen all these recent releases from WWE and everybody complaining and crying about them. But, you know, we had traveled out to Oshkosh, Wisconsin this past weekend, and one of the promoters there was Swoggle, and he put on an amazing show out there. And I sat and thought about it tonight. I was like, man, we're going to be talking about that show. And then you think about South Dakota and what Eugene has done there. And then here in Minnesota, what Ken and, you know, the original roots, Sean was part of that. And Molly Holly as well. You know, I know they still poke in once in a while. But yeah, it's very cool to see the influence around the Midwest that they have had. You know, Iowa's got Seth Rollins down there and the IPW Impact Pro Wrestling. I know they train a lot of great guys. And I guess it's been amazing to travel everywhere, you know. I guess you can go everywhere, Nebraska and Missouri, and just run down the list of places to travel. But so how long after you started training did you get, like, your first official match, or did Nick kind of say you're ready, or how did that work?
So, funny story actually about that. So during the training camp that was in February that they did for 2 weeks, they was running through, like, you know, this is how you run the ropes and how you run the ropes, how you do a bump and all that. So me being me, that I was like, I'm basically the only one that's familiar with it, that's a part of, like, the, I think it was like 8 people that was doing a training camp. I was just like, oh, okay, like, you know, so, you know, it's still the same. Like, I remember it, so I just, like, hope I kind of don't miss it. Like, I haven't missed a step because it's been, like, a few years since I ran the ropes or took a bump and everything like that. So ran through a couple drills and all that. And then close towards during the second to last day, Nick pulled me aside, and he was just like, So the rumor is true then. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I was told by one people told me that you used to wrestle. And I was like, yeah, this is about like a couple of years ago. He was like, well, I ain't going to lie, for you taking a few years off, like, you haven't missed a step. Now, hearing that from basically from the guy that trained a who's who and been around the who's who, hearing that from him, I was just like, oh, so this is definitely going to happen. It's like, all right, I'm back in the game. And then basically, like, at the end, he went around the room and to the people that basically was part of the camp, he's basically saying, like, what did you enjoy about this? How did you enjoy is there anything that you took away from this that you can keep with you? And if you want to if you can see yourself doing this, continue training and all that. So it came to me and just saying, like, you know, like, I basically just addressed the rumor. I was like, for all of you that heard, yes, it's true. I actually used to wrestle for like a little bit, like several years ago. I stopped to pursue school, but I miss being around this a lot, and I can definitely see myself doing it. And then, so graduation for me when I graduated college was May 5th. And then the new semester for training started May 18th, I want to say. So training. So basically, oh no, you're fine. So basically,
year-wise,
I got
2017 or what?
Yeah, 2017.
Okay. Sorry. Continue. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure.
It's okay. So basically, like, literally graduated, moved from Brookings to Sioux Falls, made sure I had, like, a job and everything like that lined up, and literally that week was just going back and forth, and then by the time I realized it, it's Monday morning, and it's just like, oh, I got to go to wrestling training. It's actually the first day. So, and then after that, it was about 4 weeks for me, because they ran a show up in Harrisburg for their little state fair in June of 2017.
wild, right?
And basically, Nick personally, Eugene asked me, he was like, are you ready? And he's like, how do you feel? And I was like, I feel pretty good.
I'll stick with that today.
So he was
Thank you.
He was like, do you feel good about wrestling? And I was like, this earlier, like, are you sure? He was like, you made a lot of strides in improvement. And plus, like, I see something in you. And I'm just like, well, all right, if you think I'm ready, like, who am I to argue against you? So I'm like, sure, let's do it. So about 4 weeks it took for me to actually, like, have my first match in Midwest All Pro slash first match back after a long hiatus.
Dang, man. And how are your nerves, like, being trained how you were trained and then stepping in there with somebody with the reputation of Nick Dinsmore? I think a lot of people maybe know him as Eugene, but they don't know that he was this amazing worker and his work in OVW. What was it like for you stepping in there? Were you kind of nervous that, like, you didn't learn the right way or you'd have to be retrained or something? Or what was your thought process going into that?
Most of it I felt as though would have been me being retrained again, because another, like, just to kind of, like, rewind it a tiny bit, like, one of the things that I was always told, which what introduced me, like, way back when to, like, wrestling politics, people usually always say, like, if you learn one thing one way from a different area and you go somewhere different to try to hone more skills, that you have to, like, completely forget everything you knew and start over. Like, it felt weird, especially hearing that at a young age. It's like, but it's the same thing. Like, what's different outside the fact of, like, when it comes to, like, certain styles you want to do? So going in, like, I'll say about, like, the first few days I did training, like, I ended up asking Nick, I was like, is there anything that, like, I need to, like, start from scratch on? He was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, because, like, granted, it's been a few years off that I took, but, like, there might be things different in this region than it is in other regions. He was like, I don't know where you heard that from, but wrestling is the same language is universal everywhere you go. Like, you run the same way, you bump the certain way. It's just the way people train, they might have different philosophies when it comes to it. And just, like, hearing that was just, like, a sigh of relief. And plus, like, Nick taught me so much when it came to, you know, because way back when, you know, when you're young and dumb, you want to, you know, as they usually say, you want to get everything in as you can. But, you know, Nick was all about, you know, you gotta tell a story. Less is more. All
right.
And he emphasized less is more a whole lot. So I could say from that standpoint, like, I learned a couple things new, but I didn't have to change up, like, anything or think, like, oh, I got to start from the beginning, like, work my ground up back again.
Oh, yeah. Amazing, man. There's so many questions I want to ask you about the training process, but we're already, like, a half hour into this. Let's jump forward to your recent, like, 2019, you said, you know, I kick it off, like, the fall of 2019 and kind of tell your title chase story, or what would you like to do? You want to do somewhere different?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's actually perfectly fine. So up until that point, I'll say, we'll just go to the beginning of 2020. Up to that point, like,
right.
I was basically, I'm not going to say I was, like, the Midwest All-Pro Wrestling, like, tag team enthusiast, but I was always in tag team matches, which I really didn't mind. Like, they were fun. Teamed with a few people, won tag titles with them. And by that time, too, like, late 2019, that's when I actually started picking up a lot of steam. Basically meaning that, like, I was wrestling in Minnesota for MAW. I had a couple places, like, lined up for about March throughout the Midwest in 2020, technically. And, like, I started getting a stride, wrestling in Iowa sometimes, Omaha a few times. Things was going good, and back in Midwest All-Pro, I started getting that singles run. Like, I never got, like, a pure singles run, so it was something new and different. And then, you know, once, you know, late February, early March hit, you know, the world turned upside down, basically.
Sure. Yeah, that was wild, man.
Yeah.
What was it like for you? A lot of shows got canceled, or what was it like in Sioux Falls? I noticed they were kind of running shows yet.
So with Sioux Falls, like when it came to our COVID situation here, when it came to the CDC, it wasn't bad. I know for sure. Like we had shows got canceled because we had a big show lined up in March. March and April,
okay.
Actually, and those two shows ended up getting canceled because around that time, that's where one of the plants up here ended up getting busted for like 500 people testing positive for COVID. So everything legitimately,
okay,
dramatically shut down for those couple months. But, like, you know, we were still we did proper protocols when it came to, like, training and all that. It really sucked training-wise because, like, one of the things I love doing is going to the gym and work out, and, like, all the gyms closing and having limited access to it kind of, like, suffered for me a little bit. But once things because things for us started opening back up in May once the cases start to decline, and I know Nick did really good when it came to listening to CDC protocols, obeying their guidelines and all that. Because there was a lot of places that was running, like, shows when it came to, like, bands performing or everything like that, that they wouldn't follow proper protocol, and a lot of businesses and places suffer for it. So Nick did a good job when it came to that and understanding that, like, you know, with the world, way the world was, you know, wrestling is an escape for a lot of people.
For sure. Now, how did your title chase begin? I know there's like the main Midwest All-Pro Wrestling Championship, and then there's what is that secondary title again?
The Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Championship. Now, with that belt is actually really unique and different. Because with that one, basically that belt has a special stipulation. And basically the stipulation behind the Empire Auto Sales Undisputed Championship is that the challenger for the title gets to pick the stipulation.
Interesting, man. And how long?
Oh, no, it's been a – ooh, I'm sorry to cut you off. You go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, man. You've been great. I've enjoyed this so much just listening to you talk. Do you enjoy the talking part of pro wrestling, like the cutting a promo, stepping out in front of the crowd, working the live crowd on the microphone? Is that an aspect that you enjoy?
Oh, no, I love it. Honestly, I love it a lot. And I think part of it has to deal with, like, me being – so I have a background. Basically, when I graduated South Dakota State down here, I graduated with a theater degree. So you can say that I'm used to
– South Dakota State is where again? Sorry.
It's in Brookings, South Dakota.
All right. How far is that from Sioux Falls?
Far, it's
huh?
About –
like a half hour or so?
About not too far, like half an hour, 45 minutes.
Okay. Nice. And Midwest All-Pro is really the only promotion in Sioux Falls. Is that correct?
Correct.
Awesome, awesome, man. Just wanted to go over a couple of facts before you continue your story. When was your first championship in Midwest All-Pro Wrestling?
My first championship would be the Midwest All-Pro Tag Team Championships, actually. Won it with a makeshift tag team with a person that I went to war with, Hell and Back, called his name is Crash. We were called the Time Crashers. Basically, we won those in November on the I want to say it's the third anniversary show. Yeah, it was the third anniversary. The third anniversary show of that was all the way in 2017. My first singles title in Midwest All-Pro Wrestling. Actually was the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship that I won in May of last year.
All right, all right. And can you take us behind the emotions of that victory and why that wasn't so important to you?
Yes. So few days leading to it, my mother passed away from a stroke. And around that time, like, everything was, like, lined up for a show. And I think at that time, I was just going to do, like, a regular, just, like, a regular match. But at the time, like, my head, like, you know, when you're going through, like, a painful loss, especially someone as close as your mother, you kind of questioned a lot of things. So
sure.
At the point in time, like, the day it happened, I ended up messaging Eugene and basically telling him, like, hey, like, my head is all over the place. I'm not going to be able to make it to the show within the next few days. He's like, I don't know if you saw, but I basically told, like, my mom suffered a stroke and she didn't make it. So I'm sorry. Like, and I felt so bad because I felt as though, like, especially canceling something last minute like that, I felt as though I was letting him down. And I just said, like, I was very apologetic about it. And he was under the thing. He's like, family comes first. Like, take care of your family. Make sure, okay. And whenever you're ready to come back, just let me know. So around that time, about the next day, I was just sitting there. I was sitting with my girlfriend, Amanda, and, like, we was just – because she basically knew, like, something was on my mind. Well, with a lot going through my mind, technically. So she was like, are you thinking about basically you wrestling? And at that point in time, I was just thinking about maybe, like, I think this is just time for me to probably stop wrestling for good. So then she was like, well, she was like, you know, I never thought I'd hear you say that because you're the only person that I know that legit is having fun wrestling. Like, I never seen you come more alive than you do just wrestling. Like, and sometimes you hear it being cliche, but that woman has seen me in concerts. She's seen me, like, at work, you know, having fun, having a good time. But she said, you're truly yourself when you're performing in a crowd when you're wrestling. So she was like, I will support you no matter what you know, what you decide. But I think your mom will at least want you to at least write this out on your own terms. She don't want. I'm pretty sure she doesn't want you to have her be a damper or to end everything. So after, like, a long thought about it, I ended up messaging Nick the next day, so it's about 2 days that passing. Basically saying, like, hey, Nick, I know I told you last minute a few days ago that I wouldn't be able to wrestle. I was like, I know the show's tomorrow. Is there any way you can put me on a card? I just want to do this for my mom because she loves seeing me wrestle. Because during that morning, my dad called me basically wanted to know if everything was okay. And my dad told me that, you know, I wish I would have told you this a lot more often than not. But when you made that your highlight video, and every time you post stuff on your Facebook, you know, your mom barely be on Facebook, but I show her the video. And one thing she always do outside of just cringe for every, like, highlight video you do, whether it's, like, you falling on your face and all that, is that she was actually really happy and proud that you loved wrestling. And she wouldn't want you to stop pursuing your dream. So that was the catalyst for me saying, all right, I'll definitely for sure go back. And to fast forward it later that night when Nick said that, sure, like, I would love to have you on the show. And, you know, I just said, like, put me on first. Like, I'll be the star of the show just because. Little did I know, he changed the card the day of to switch it to where he didn't tell me until, like, at least 30 minutes until doors opened, the match I was in, which was against Freak Nasty for the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship. And I'm just like, no, you're joking, right? He's like, why would I joke about business? And I was just like, this ain't happening right now. Like, I...
like, at that point in time, I felt as though, like, I didn't deserve to be in that spot. And he was like, you've always been in this spot. You always deserve a spot. I just want you to just, you know, be yourself. Truly be yourself. And then, you know, the rest was history after that. Like, I won the Midwest All-Pro Heavyweight Championship, and I've never had a rush of emotion, rage run through me, because at that moment, like, I legit heard my mom's voice outside of, like, the, like, at least 80 people that was there. And, like, the only person I heard was I didn't hear, you know, my friends that was in the front row. I didn't hear Nick talking on the microphone after that I won a match. All I heard was my mom that night. And, man, that, like, if, like, I'm just getting goosebumps just, like, thinking about it and talking about it. It was something. It was amazing.
Wow, man. Thank you so much for sharing that story, dude. Like I said in the promo today, I was like, one of the greatest feel-good stories in all of pro wrestling. I know a lot of people have enjoyed the dark side of the ring and everything, and I feel like we've been trying to bring, like, a positive, you know, a positive side of the ring. And I think nobody's story is more amazing than yours, man. Like you said, to go through that struggle like you went through, to lose somebody so close to you like that. Just the whole way it worked out, man, and ended up walking away with the championship. So amazing. Now, let's jump forward to the Black Wrestlers Matter. How did you learn about, or how did you find out, or how did you get booked? Work out?
How that all came about, yeah. So basically how that came about, which is funny enough, because when American Fury John West, when he and Chris Manning announced the show that they were going to do it, like, already right then and there, and this is like probably like, I want to say like in April, they announced the show happening. Right then and there, I was like, I don't care if I'm on the show or if I'm not on the show, I'm going to be there. Like, I'll be there as a fan because, like, it's history. It's groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So fast forward it to about, I'll say, June, July, I get off I'm in the middle of a lunch break at work, and I had two missed messages. One of them was from John West, and one of them was from Chris Manning. I saw John message first, and John he messaged me the date. He sent me the picture of the match card, which was the for the Cultural Rumble, and it had basically question marks everywhere. And he said, "Are you in?" And right when I said that, like, I legit kicked my car door. I didn't mean to kick my car door, but I was actually excited about it. So I was like, yeah, like, I was like, I ended up getting giddy and all that. And then after, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So then he's like, all right, you're booked. And then I saw Chris Manning. He basically sent me the same thing, but he worded it. He's like, hey, we got a show coming up, and feels though you should be, we definitely need to have you on there. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was like, I just talked to John. I'm definitely there, so I'm double confirming it with you. So he's like, all right, sweet, brother. See you on Black Wrestlers Matter. So get there. Fast forward to the day of, like, you know, usually when it comes to car rides, I'm usually very talkative. Because around the time I was riding down with my lovely girlfriend, Amanda, and we were just sitting there, like, we were just talking about, like, just wrestling stuff. Like, wrestling stuff. We were talking about nerd stuff. I think around that same day, too, that's when they was doing the DC little festival thing. So we were just talking about, like, DC animated movies and, like, the movies that's coming out with them, talking about Wonder Woman 84 and all that. And close to being there, we're about, like, at least 30 minutes away. I just get quiet for no reason. And I was just, that's when I got nervous, which I've never had happen to me before, me getting nervous on a car ride, because I just didn't know what was going on. So, and plus, like, I just wanted to get into mind mode, just get prepared, because, I mean, this show to me was a big deal, because I've never been on a card this heavy with a lot of great wrestlers. Like, I mean, you got guys, you got Top Flight, who is now in AEW. You got guys like Mojo McQueen, who I am a fan of. People like Faye Jackson, the little blue eye, Ascension. I always call it Blue Eyes White Dragon because I love Yu-Gi-Oh. You know, it was just crazy with all the people that was there. Jossie, JDX, ACH, Mike Outlaw. Like, that car was stacked and loaded. And, like, it was just like being sharing the locker room with all those people, like, with Devin, with Faye, Sonny was there making a guest appearance. Like, I just felt as though, like, legit, like, I felt as though, like, honestly, I felt as though, like, am I really a part of this locker room with a lot of great wrestlers? And then, you know, like, I heard my mom's voice again that day. She was like, you dang right you deserve to be in there now. Like, don't embarrass me. And I'm just like, oh, God, I just literally just had a talk with my mom, and she said, don't embarrass me. So leading up to, I saw the car, I saw the order, and then, you know, I just wanted to put on, like, a show like no other. And what was crazy about it was while the match was happening, because I talked this up for about 2 months since I found out that I got booked and when they announced the card. So everybody all over, like, to my friends back in Wisconsin, to, like, a few friends I have down in Texas, everybody I was up here in South Dakota that I wrestled with, everybody was watching it. And, like, I felt like my shoulders were super, super heavy. And it was just like, okay, now I know I got everybody watching me, so, like, they hope the best for me. And then it came down to me and Con Ortiz, like, I gave him a good super kick, gave him a clothesline out, and then I heard the bell ring, and then I just came to, I was like, oh, man, this just happened. And I heard a loud scream, and that loud scream was not my mom, because I heard her again, but the scream that was loud was Amanda, because she was freaking out that I actually won. So, like, I heard the best of both worlds when it came to that, and, man, like, I was just on cloud nine that whole night. Like, I want to say, like, I carried that trophy everywhere for, like, a couple months, like, because it was just awesome, and it holds, like, a special place in my heart. Not a lot of people can be the first ever, and I was just glad that I was fortunate enough to be, like, one of the first ever to do something.
Definitely, man. A historic night there in Des Moines. Great cause. They raised a bunch of money for the youth of Des Moines. Amazing show. I mean, to be a part of the Battle Royal, like you said, it had to be an honor. But to be able to pull it off with all those great competitors and win the Battle Royal. Now, is there anything in the works for this year, or nothing you can announce yet, we don't want to get you in trouble or anything, but.
I mean, as I'm looking at this trophy, I feel as though I think I need to do something about it. Like, I mean, I feel as though a repeat would be nice, you know. I can actually start a dynasty for it. But, you know, like, I mean, I'll be okay with, you know, as long, again, if I get an opportunity to grace the show again, like, I will be humbly honored for it. But I will be lying if I say, like, you know, I feel as though I need to defend my crown again, so.
I love that. Great response there, man. Yeah, it was an amazing show to sit and think about it. August, you know, a lot of stuff was shut down around the Midwest. It was kind of that, you know, optimistic period. I remember driving down for the show, bringing my nephew. Yeah, it was just a really historic show, you know, seeing Top Flight unmasked and with everything happening here in Minneapolis with the George Floyd case and everything going on last year. It really was one of the highlights of my year. It was goosebumps just talking about it now. And amazing that you got to be a part of that and win that. And then this year, the championship match, you know, JDX versus Jossie, and the amazing card that they've announced so far, Juneteenth, June 19th down there in Des Moines, Iowa. It was amazing seeing it declared a holiday there in Des Moines as well. So very excited to travel back down
amazing.
There this summer for that show.
Yeah, it's definitely a good step in an amazing direction. Like, it's going to be, I mean, they're calling it the cookout of the summer. Like, it's going to be more
yeah.
than a cookout because, I mean, fireworks going to be playing. Like, it's going to be a real good time.
Yeah, very, very excited for that show. Now, can you take us to this latest? Let's see how much time we got left. We got like 7 minutes. This is amazing, dude. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. Should we do a part two next week? You want to come back next Wednesday and we'll tell the rest of the story?
No, for sure, man. As long as you're willing to have me, yeah, we can do a part two next week.
Oh, for sure, man. The wrestling fan in me is just sitting here and loving the story that you've told, man. It's just so amazing to hear it so far. And I don't want to have to rush you either in this last 7 minutes. So, yeah, let's just do a part two next week.
All right, for sure, man.
Very, very excited. Any last words for the fans or places to follow you on social media and whatnot or merchandise and whatnot? Anything last plugs before we take off?
For sure. Follow me on Facebook, DeLorean Time Traveler. Instagram and Twitter is the same name. D-Lo Diggs, that's D-L-O-D-I-G-G-S. Pro Wrestling Tee Store, prowrestlingtees.com/D-Lo Diggs is the store name. If you guys can support your boy, go get the new shirts. Subrate, which I know we'll talk about more than likely in part two, is the dual champ Diggs story. So support your boy there, and yeah, that's all I got for my plugins.
Brilliant, brilliant, beautiful. Thank you for joining us tonight, taking some time out. Appreciate you coming back next week. Amazing that we only got to the Black Wrestlers Matter show. Very excited to tell the rest of your story next week and sit down and chat with you. I think we'll be back for a couple hours show next week. Thank you for joining us tonight. Fans, we are here with the time traveler, DeLorean Diggs. Dual champion for Midwest All-Pro Wrestling out there in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, under the training as a school / promotion under Nick Eugene Dinsmore. Amazing to hear your story. Now we got to cut back to the beginning of your story here. Do you still have that tape, the AWA Classic? Was that the hour-long match? Between Kurt Hennig and Dick Bockwinkel?
I want to say it is an hour-long match for sure. Funny story is, I got to go to my grandma's house to see if she still has it laying around. I know she does.
Nice.
Last time I was over at her place, she has all the VHS tape recordings. And I know she gave some of them to my dad. Because I remember actually like a few months ago, my dad ended up telling me that, hey, like, you know, I don't know if you got a VHS player up there or anything like watching. He's like, I got all the boxes of my granddad's tapes that he has, and he has the Bockwinkel Henning match, and I was just like, I definitely am gonna grab those for me whenever I get a chance. So eventually, I'll have that in my possession.
Amazing, man! That would be a lot of fun. That was one of my main disappointments with the WWE Network was the lack of an AWA library. I was hoping they just kind of put all the libraries out there. I get why they don't. They're a company. They're trying to make money and whatnot. But, it'd be great to be able to dive into those AWA.
Yeah, it's weird just because of the fact that I remember when they used to do WWE 24. They actually had like a handful of like AWA stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I remember that era. I guess that's why it was disappointing, and I know there's a lot of – I guess it's been the fun part about growing up around here and becoming a wrestling fan was realizing the history and how big the AWA was.
Yeah, like, because I know it was, yeah, because it was huge. It was, I know it was really huge in the, definitely in the Midwest for sure, because I still remember, I don't know if ESPN, I don't think they do it anymore, but I remember there was a point in time.
Yeah, that was on,
like,
ESPN
especially during yeah, they used to have it on ESPN Classic. I know sometimes, depending on which local station it's on, usually you can catch it on the local station like around like 3 a.m. in the morning. Because I remember at a point in time
yeah.
when Ring of Honor started broadcasting the stuff like on the local channel in Milwaukee, which was now the CW, but it used to be called the WB station. They used to air Ring of Honor like around like 1 o'clock, and then they aired AWA a little bit after that.
And right before we leave, when's the next Midwest All Pro Wrestling show coming up? I see they had a flyer out for that.
Yes, so the next Midwest All Pro Wrestling show, there's actually gonna be two of them coming up. The first one that's gonna come up is. It's going to be our first show in the Harrisburg Event Center, which will be next, it'll be on April 30th. It'll have limited seating. And then the show after that would be Saturday, May 8th. And that will be at Big Bar in Super Hall, South Dakota. So if you guys are definitely in the area, you guys got to check us out.
Amazing, definitely. I'm going to have to travel out there for one of these shows. I got some good friends out there in Sioux Falls as well. We got about
awesome.
A little over a minute. We got a little over a minute left. Thank you for carrying the show, dude. You did such an amazing job as a pro wrestling fan, first and foremost. I love just sitting and listening to your stories. And I'm already looking forward to next week getting to sit and listen. All right, we got 60 seconds left. Anything you want to leave the fans before the show cuts off here?
Basically, you guys, I mean, basically what I want to say is get a little motivational expression. Like, you guys have a dream. If you want to live it, like, go ahead, do it, man. Like, the dream don't stop until you stop. So keep grinding. Things are getting better. And, you know, let's all enjoy ourselves. Love one another.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Amazing. Thank you, fans, for joining in tonight. Joining us tonight for the State of Pro Wrestling podcast. We'll be going live on Facebook tonight here. In a little bit, we'll talk the ACW event. I want to thank the time traveler, DeLorean Diggs, dual champion from Midwest All Pro Wrestling out of Sioux Falls, promotion run by Nick Eugene Dinsmore. Thank you for joining us, DeLorean. Fans, have a great night. We'll see you soon. We'll be here this weekend, First Wrestling Sunday night, Minneapolis, St. Paul. St. Paul, I think it's in St. Paul.
Yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota. We'll be broadcasting live from there as well. Thank you, fans. Thanks to Time Traveler, DeLorean Diggs. Good night.